Hey, what's up, guys? That's right, Nerd Soul here. Get ready for the podcast, breaking down what happened in your week of geek. Doesn't matter if it's movies, comic books, TV shows, we're going to get right into it. So I ain't going to waste your time. Let's do this. The Indies. Now, a lot of you might not know, The Indies is a new animated series coming to us by DJ Tony Drake. It's a post-apocalyptic world where you still have hip-hop, but there's been a change in the game, because every now and then you got to bring in some violence and some action. And in this case, if you want to be a star, if you want to be a hit, sometimes you have to sign a contract that might also force you to do a little dirt. So before we get super into it, this is a story that covers a lot of people in this world that are so into hip hop that they are willing to do anything to blow. You know, they got chops, Slick, Ronnie, Pan, and Rico, and all of them are kind of like our core vision into this world where you have hip hop turned hitmen, where unfortunately being so psyched to be signed, so psyched to get your music out there, so psyched to blow up, that maybe you're willing to cross the line, maybe do some dirt, maybe commit a crime, maybe commit the ultimate capital offense in being a hitman. And I love how this is bringing music. I love how this is bringing animation. I love how this is bringing just so many worlds that I'm already excited about together with some great art.
Just that, wanting to give that to people was what was driving me. I have the whole first season written out.
So before we move on to dope beats and dope rhymes and also, of course, dope animation, let me remind you that you can find me at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans. Super dope. And you can check them out at blackhollywoodlive.com, where they have celebrity interviews, after show, sports talk, geek, nerd, tech, the whole shebang-a-bang. And you can see much more at youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. So here we are with an action, drama, comedy, hip-hop, anime, dope beats, dope rhymes, dope fights, dope character, just design as a whole. We're about to have a lot of fun. And I'm wondering where you're at on this, because when you watch the videos in the link below, you're gonna get like a whole bunch of behind the scenes. You've got, you know, them talking about the project. You got the artists actually putting down the tracks that are gonna be in the show. You got the whole vibe of creation around this property that looks like it's about to be a lot of fun. And the action that they do show, I'm like, yo, man, I'm definitely down for this. I'd love to see this on like Adult Swim or something. I think it would have a great home there. So right now, what you need to do is check out that Kickstarter. Right now, they're about to end this joint. They are super close and they're almost at their goal. And the reason I'm so into this is because as you go through this, you see the character layout, the designs, the drafts, and so many cool perks for you and I in a project like this, in a world like this, where I think they could truly expand the lore. And of course, dealing with exploring morals in relation to music. And how much does music have to do with your morals, and how much does your character have to do with your music? I think there's a lot to be said there. Oh yeah, we coming with another wonderful episode of On Screen. And before we start, I have to tell you that there was one movie, only one movie, that made me want to shoot films, make films, draw concept art, be involved in the industry as a voice actor, actor, host, all of this good stuff. And that was Terminator 2. Now, of course, Terminator 2 was a long time ago. And since then, some of the Terminator installments have not been fan favorites across the board. But now, oh boy, but now, we've got Linda Hamilton coming back after 25 years, along with James Cameron and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And you can see in the link below that James Cameron is not only involved, but he's gonna be producing. He's bringing together a writer's room to be able to map out not only this film, but the next two in a brand new trilogy, picking up right where Judgment Day left off. That's right. And I can't be more hyper because this can't get no writer. Now, let's back up because there are a whole bunch of story pieces to get into this. So we got James Cameron. He's back. He's in the production chair. He's not directing, but guess who is? Your boy, Tim Miller. That's right, from Deadpool fame. The man who made the Merc with a Mouth a lovable character, a household name, someone that you and I can trust to be bankable on the big screen. And with sensibilities like his, and also with James Cameron back, actually putting his hands on this property, I'm super psyched. So you know that they've got the writer's room going. They've got Tim Miller in the house. They got James Cameron pulling Linda Hamilton back to be that hardcore woman that we all know and love. Because the last time we saw her, she was not playing. And trust me, there is no fate but what we make. And what we're making is just the hint, just a little soupçon of a straight up dope film that will go into a new trilogy of, could I say, dare I say, modern classic. And here's why, because not only do we have the original pillars of this franchise coming back, but it seems to be something that James Cameron is actually excited about again. Because during the years since Terminator 2, it doesn't seem like James Cameron's been fully on board. But from this report that we're getting, it seems that James Cameron is on board. Tim Miller is definitely excited, and they're pulling together a writer's room to really map out how they're going to be dealing with time, how they're going to be dealing with Terminators, and things of that nature. But before we get forward into what I think may have people on the fence, I gotta remind you that you can find me at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans. It's super dope. And of course, you can check them at Black Hollywood Live, where they have celebrity interviews, after show, sports talk, geek, nerd, tech, the whole shebang a bang. And you can check them out on YouTube at youtube.com/Black Hollywood Live. So the one part of this story that might have people on the fence is the fact that this is going to be a passing of the torch, or a handing off of the baton, to a younger actress. It seems that they're looking for a young woman, 18 to 20, something like that, that can kind of take over for Sarah, I guess her and probably, I guess John will kind of go on into the future, trying to stave off of this, I guess, judgment day that we've just prevented. But I guess we, you know, time doesn't stop. So they're going to have to keep preventing it. You know what I'm saying? And I know there's some people that, you know, they're kind of scared of passing the torch to someone younger. But you know what? I'm not mad at it. I think that if we pick the right young lady that looks tough, and not to say that, you know, any woman couldn't do it, but Linda Hamilton has like a little, you know, I feel like Linda Hamilton will shoot me. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of women that are on screen these days. I'm not going to call out any names, but when you see them on screen in an action role, they don't look believable. You don't feel like they could punch somebody, or that they could knock someone out, or that they're doing that kick, or that they're, you know, putting that gun together. But if we find the right woman, man, this thing is a lock. So that is how I feel. I think this joint has more than promise. And I think this joint is super just primed to be that new trilogy that we're all salivating over. But of course, I need you to holler at me down in them comments. Let me know what you think. Are you as hyped as I am? Because I'm over the moon on this joint. Or are you like, you know, let's wait and see, man. I don't know, James Cameron. Here's my thing. Don't bet against James Cameron. Don't do it. I'm just saying, don't do it. But maybe you're not feeling it, or maybe you're worried about who they cast with this lady. Maybe it, you know, it all hinges on that new cast. So, you know, of course, let me know down in them comments, and we can get it on that Terminator. Let's go in and get to it. We are going to continue our read along of Ghostbusters. And this is the annual issue, just after Mass Hysteria, I believe after Get Real. And we've kind of like experienced much more from the team, from Kylie, things of that nature. So now we're kind of jumping back, but after the two series, because at first we had to read the two series, then we went back. Now we're where we're supposed to be. So how do I feel about this one? Well, Dan Schoening's still there, and of course, Eric Burnham is still there. Now, of course, if you've been following this read-along, you know that I love that team for this story. Sometimes a storyline and art just work well together, and I think these two are a dynamic duo. When it comes to ghostbusting, these guys know the team, they know the look, they know the mannerisms, they know the conversations, they know the characteristics, and that is amazing. So, should you read this? I'd say, yeah, definitely. It's not as much of a high note as Get Real was for me, but I like this a lot because it involved the Sandman. And it brought a Sandman that was a little more, this ain't your granddad's Sandman. This isn't, you know, this isn't the, you know, the sweet tune of Bring Me a Dream, or this isn't even the animated series Sandman, who they actually reference in this comic book. This Sandman is out for blood. And when I say alpha blood, it's mostly eyeballs that he likes to eat. And it's really cool to see, you know, someone that's, he's got a different power. He's a little more sinister, but he also puts all of our guys in a dream state. And the dream state is where we kind of get a nicer look at what the dreams, what the wants, what the needs, what the wishes of our teammates go through. Like Ray is going through a dream where he's just consistently fixing, you know, and repairing, you know, the gadgets and gadgets of the Ghostbusters team. Peter is just kind of like doing his thing with Dana, but he's kind of replaying the moments of when Dana was floating about 4 feet above her bed. When we see Winston, he's kind of reliving the first dance of his wedding. And it's funny because Ray notices something's wrong. And he even sees the Jim Belushi ghost again. And the Jim Belushi ghost is like, yeah, this isn't real. And Peter, unfortunately, has no clue. Like, he's definitely thinking that this is a dream or thinking that this is just a normal situation. Winston, sadly, since, of course, he's in a situation where he lost Tia and has to kind of like gain that situation back and kind of get that romance back. It's interesting to see that he always knew it was a dream, but he was willing to stay. And that kind of touches you a little bit because you're like, yo, I saw this couple and they were a great couple. Everything was fine. And unfortunately, you know, they were ripped apart because of what happened in Mass Hysteria. And just seeing him wanting to kind of like hold on to that and keep that. But lastly, Egon, when we come into his dream, dude's just straight up writing all over the wall this huge kind of equation because he knows he's in a dream and he's just trying to figure it out. Now, before we move on, I gotta remind you, you can find me at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans. It's super dope. And you can check them out at blackhollywoodlive.com, where you can find celebrity interviews, after shows, sports talk, geek nerd tech, the whole shebangabang. When you finish there, check out live streams at youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. So what in this issue stood out for me? I'd have to say that it harkened back to the relationship the Ghostbusters have with the government. The thing I loved about the relationship with the government in this issue is that it shows that the Ghostbusters don't just do whatever they want. And it also shows that there has to be some type of relationship with the, you know, with the local PD or with the firemen or something like that. And it even shows the detective Mitchell comes to them and he's like, yo, there's this case, this woman's missing an eyeball. We think it's your thing. And even when they get to the home, he's like, yo, my rules are actually to stay here until you guys give it an all clear. And I think that just, it helps classify this, you know, as a serious situation. And it also roots this in a sort of, you know, serious, more grounded reality. I mean, I know it's a comic book, it's written and it's drawn in a very cartoonish manner, but it kind of provides a situation where you say like, oh, this could happen. You know what I'm saying? So I really like that. I think that was one of the strongest parts of the issue, that is it really super touched on, but I think just the fact that they went through those motions, it helps to provide context into how it works in New York, how it would work with maybe a service like this, or some paranormal investigators that were handling real ghosts, real threats. So yeah, man, the annual issue is definitely not topping Get Real for me, but I think that it's solid, and I love the darker turn. When you read it, if you haven't read it, you'll read it that he's a little rougher, he's a little edgier than the animated series Sandman. So I think you'll like it. I definitely think it's definitely still worth the read. So guys, holler at me, I'm gonna holler at you. Down in the comments, let me know what you think about Ghostbusters Annual. It's after the first and second series. A lot of history there. You got Kylie, you got Janine. It's just a lot of fun. And let's get it going with Arc. Now, the way I found Arc is through Netflix. They have their system where it shows you like the match of a film or something. And it's like, you look at a film, it'll be like, you know, 70% match or 90% match. Well, Arc for me was 93% match. And I wanted to test this out and see what I thought. Now, this is gonna be a spoiler review because it's a Netflix film and you guys can all see it for free. And you know, well, I guess you pay a subscription, but you know, you can watch it right now if you want. So it's not a situation where it's a theatrical release, you gotta kind of wait. So we're gonna go in and get into it. And the first thing that I like about this is that even though it does have the Groundhog's Day kind of time loop aspect, it does find a way to be unique. And what I mean by unique is usually in these kind of Groundhog's Day time loop films, there's one person that's experiencing this day over and over. And they really don't have anyone to talk to about it or explain it to because no one will truly believe them. Sans Edge of Tomorrow, that was a little different, but this comes into a weird situation because this person is now experiencing this day again with multiple people. And some people are friends and some people are foes. Now, this is a bottle film that's kind of surrounded by this guy who used to be like a military engineer. He has this machine down in his basement. And the people that are coming to steal scripts from him and also steal that machine are, how should we say, sort of in a ground war, maybe a civil war between the tourists and the block. And whatever's going on outside, because we're in a bottle film just in one house, whatever's going on outside has to be bad because people can't even breathe the air without air masks on. And through finding out who's a traitor, who's a mercenary, who's actually got sort of fair intentions, we find that this time loop is occurring over like say 3 or 4 hours where these people can't get out of that loop. You know, these people always over and over are either allying with each other or kind of killing each other over and over again. And the crazy part is when the good guys or our protagonists find out that Sonny, who's a mercenary, is now also filled with all the knowledge he needs to get ahead. But before I get to my score and everything, I gotta remind you, you can find me at Black Hollywood Live for a little bit further. they got fly interviews, after show, sports talk, geek nerd tech, the whole shebangabang on blackhollywoodlive.com. And after you check out all that good stuff on blackhollywoodlive.com, you can check them out also on youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. So you have a situation where they take Groundhog's Day, they take a little bit of Edge of Tomorrow, they stick you in a bottle film. I'm enjoying it. I have to say, for the most part, I thought this was pretty solid and it was right where it needed to be. It was on Netflix. I'd say this would be a great rental. It's something that you can, you know, as a kind of suspense-y, action-y kind of film, I think you could get into it. And I'm gonna put this movie right around 3.5 stars. It's just above solid. I don't think, if this was in the theater, I wouldn't say that you need to go and spend like $12, $15 on this. But since it's at Netflix, I think it has a great place and a great opportunity to be seen. I think it's one of those films that's good enough to kind of like watch, and it might even have some replay value because there's some things to figure out between the tourists and the block, and especially how the way it ends, it gives you a few clues as to, you know, how many times they've been in this loop, because as we know before they end, they've been in this loop like thousands of times. So even though the acting wasn't hitting a home run for me, it was good enough paired with the atmosphere to keep me intrigued to see what was going to happen at the end. It has old girl from Hotel 666, or no, Park Avenue 666. And the other actors I'm not super up on, but I will say, even though that was kind of solid and standard, it was enough to make me wonder, like, how is this going to play out? How is this going to end? So for me, I'd say it's definitely worth checking out. Maybe like Saturday when you're folding laundry or something, go in and check out Arc. I think it's definitely worth your time. So holla at me, I'ma holla at you. Down in the comments, let me know what you think about Arc. Are you feeling the whole mass vibe? Are you feeling like the father-mother issue? Do you wanna know more about the Civil War that they got going on? Are you interested as to how the Arc works, and will they ever be able to get outside of the time loop? Because I feel like they're probably not. But anyway, oh yeah, we coming with another wonderful episode of Dropping Jewels, and I'm so happy that you're here. But we got a little house cleaning. If you didn't know and you're watching this on Black Hollywood Live, I'd like to let you know that my wife is going to be having a child. We're so excited. It's super dope. It's going to be a little boy. I am hyped about this adventure, but unfortunately, that means some of my time is going to be taken. Maybe a lot of my time is going to be taken. So I'm going to have to reel a lot of my activities in, and I will be stepping down from Black Hollywood Live. So if you're watching Black Hollywood Live and you're watching me on Black Hollywood Live and you like what you're seeing, subscribe right here to my channel. You'll be able to see the videos there. I'll still upload, but trust me, handling two channels can be stressful. It can be a lot. It can be a lot of things to just remember on the logistical side. So it'll help me a lot to just kind of back down to one channel. But with that out the way, if you're watching this on my channel, just subscribe down below. Or if you don't like it, just hit me with a thumbs down. But hopefully it'll be a thumbs up by the time this is over. So let's get to this with Blade Runner, which is not only coming to the big screen, well, it's also coming to the small screen with a YouTube prequel short film on September 26th. I'm so excited because this is an anime called Blade Runner Blackout, and it's coming to us by none other than Shinichiro Watanabe. And if you didn't know who he is the wonderful person that brought us Cowboy Bebop. That means he brought us Spike, you know what I'm saying? He brought us Feifei, you know what I'm saying? Then he also brought us Samurai Champloo, which means he brought us Jean. He brought us Mugen. Yo, on the real, I'm psyched. Now, in this little short that we get to see, as far as the production and everything, it shows him, you know, throwing down the art. It shows a couple of the animatics. It shows how he's putting together the actual film with some small amounts of footage that seem to be right in the wheelhouse of dopeness. So with stuff that looks this good, you take that with the fact that it's a prequel from Blade Runner that looks like it's going to be a visual masterpiece already. And then you take the fact that the score is coming from none other than Flying Lotus himself, man, you got a hit on your hands. So guys, on the real, I hope you checked out the video. Holla at me, I'ma holla at you. Down in them comments, let me know what you think about Blade Runner Blackout. I mean, it's gonna be on YouTube, it's free. Are you gonna check it out? Hopefully so, because I mean, it's free, man. Come on, why not? But also, how psyched are you for Blade Runner, the actual film? Have you already gotten your tickets? Have you not? Let's go on and get on board with that, because I think it's something that you might not want to miss. So we're going to move on, and we've got a little bit of news or an update from a certain robot that we all love. He's got to protect the galaxy. So next up, Gather the Coalition. That's right. We've got a season 4 trailer for Voltron Legendary Defender. Now, you've seen me review season 3. I love this show. On the real, I think it's a nice mix. Well, I mean, it's got a lot of the team, but this is just a nice mix of action, of comedy, and I love how they've kind of like rejuvenated this series, because Voltron's been gone for a while, and when the first season was coming, I was kind of worried as to how it would turn out, and I've been enjoying a lot of it. And in this trailer, it seems like we're gonna be getting the same quality stuff, because from Shiro himself, it looks like it's time to put up or shut up, because he's calling on the whole galaxy to kind of band together and fight against, of course, the Gaara Empire. And they're coming, because this looks like some Empire Strikes Back mess where they're not happy with people aligning with, you know, the whole kind of Voltron thing that they have going on, and they don't really think that, you know what I'm saying, it's worth their time or worth the headache of trying to deal with these smaller little, you know, planets and stuff, kind of trying to rise up against them. And it's tough for them, meaning the Gara Empire, because you have also Lotor who's doing his thing, but it seems like there's a little trouble in paradise there because everybody's not really on board with this Lotor guy. And even with Voltron getting a couple of wins and starting to gain popularity, are the allies really enough? I mean, will they be enough to stop the Gara Empire? I mean, the Empire, it's called an empire for a reason. There is a lot of them. But before we go on further, I gotta remind you, you can find me for like this last couple of days at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, because this will be my last video on Black Hollywood Live. But right there, you can find celebrity interviews, after shows, sports talk, geek nerd tech, the whole shebang. And if you wanna check out more of their live streams from day to day, you can see them at youtube.com/Black Hollywood Live. So before I get to see how you're feeling about this, I got one big question. What about Lotor's daddy? You know what I'm saying? Daddy woke up the end of last season. So I don't think he's gonna like too much Lotor walking around like he owns the place. Like, you know how, you say you let somebody, you know, babysit your dog or something, and you come back and they acting like the dog is theirs. You know what I'm saying? Or they house sit for a second, you come back and they having a Puff Daddy size party. I mean, you're not gonna be happy because you're gonna be like, dude, you were supposed to come here and pick up the mail and leave, and I come here and you got, you know, Pumps in the Bumps video going on. I mean, look, here's the thing. Lotor is the son, all right? You're supposed to just be playing your position because your dad is still, he ain't dead. He's like in a coma now, but he is back. So what do you think is going to happen when we get that friction? Because there's already some there between Lotor and the rest of the Gara Empire. You got the new guard, you got the old guard. So there could be some infighting. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. And do you think that the Voltron, like the trailer says, are more prepared now than they were before? Because I'm not so sure. Because when the Gara Empire is at full strength, they're not easy to beat. So guys, holla at me, I'm gonna holla at you. Down in the comments, let me know what you think about Voltron, because we got a little more to get to with Wes Anderson and his comedy. So next up is the trailer for Isle of Dogs. And I like it. The trailer talks about there being dog saturation in Japan. There's a dog flu going around, and they gotta round up all the dogs and dump them on a trash island. And it seems weird because of course we're getting another talking animal film, but this doesn't seem to be specifically geared towards kids. This seems to be more of a, maybe like teen skewing older kind of film. And we get this stop motion, interesting look with a boy and his dog, but actually looking for another dog. And through this is where you get a lot of like government intervention. It seems like something fishy is going on. You know, you got this intriguing man with a cat in his chair. You know, you got like all these spooky characters, and it's kind of like maybe government conspiracy and maybe even a rebellion going on, I guess, all formed around these dogs. That part they don't really let you know about, but I will say the animation, it's been a while since I've seen some stop motion animation. Last one I think I checked out was probably Kubo. And I loved every bit of that. And then you take this along with the voice acting from like everybody in Hollywood. I think that mixed with the stop motion animation, everybody voicing it, and the sensibilities from Wes Anderson, I think this might be something that is kind of like a surprise hit. So guys, holla at me, holla at you, down in the comments, because how much are you feeling Isle of Dogs? Are you into dogs? Are you more of a cat person? Or are you definitely into this just because it's Wes Anderson's name? Like once you saw that, you were like, I'm sold. But I'm not into all of his films, but I'll be honest, when I saw this trailer, I was just like, hey, you got something. So before I bounce, I gotta remind you to hit me up at thatnerdsoul.com. That's right, check me out. All my videos are there, from the oldest, newest, latest, greatest, and all that. Then hit up shop.thatnerdsoul.com and pick yourself up a t-shirt, player, and don't forget to get one for them playettes. Then come back here, like, comment, subscribe, and share that Nerd Soul. That's right, there is no better way that I can show people that you like what you are watching. So, LA, what up? VA, what up? RVA, you got my heart. And please be good to yourselves, be good to each other. And don't forget, if you're looking for a dog, he might be rooting around in the trash. Peace.